like somebody giving something to like Kimo or somebody, and then they get something in return. Things like that.
Can you be more specific on favoritism that you feel particularly discriminated against you?
They have come to us first about taking down our tents in the morning, and
this was even before the Sentinel article.
Yes, this way was before. That's the day we complained. They came to us first in the morning telling us if we didn't have it down by 9 o'clock, we would have 3 days to find somewhere else to stay. Mm-hmm. And there, and that day, there were tents up all day long, and we got a warning for it. If you have a child 5 years and under, or you're 7 months pregnant, you're allowed to keep it up. But I think that's like favoritism, too, because we're pregnant, too, and we should be able to get our rest. Because the first 5 months are critical. You can miscarriage, and we need to get rest.
Well, what is the big deal here about tents anyway? I mean, have there been, you know, people been coming in screaming and throwing tomatoes at the tents from across the freeway? I mean, what? Why are
there
why are they so concerned about the tents? Any ideas?
There have been no, as far as we know, there have been no complaints about people keeping up their tents, because most of the time, every time we take down our tents, you know, there's a few people which Kimo allows keeping up their tents, and those are like, what, 15 people, and some of them don't even have kids. Some of them aren't even pregnant.
Kimo keeps his tent up a lot, too, and when the Sentinel came, which was about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, he took his tent down when they got there, and they're supposed to be down at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, and he took his down when they got there.
Well, now, what about your allies? Do people out there tend to sympathize with your position? Are they critical of you? Is there a mixed feeling? What's the story?
No, there are some who sympathize with us, because there's a good friend of ours named Ann Curry, which she was the one who originally called the Sentinel.
I like that name better than Sentinel. Sentinel was good. Go ahead.
Thanks. She was the one that originally, it was her idea to call them, and she was the one who called her. Actually, she's the one who called them, and that she feels she completely agrees with us as of, what, 10 to 20 people even agree with us on it.
Well, now, is there a chance of you uniting these people, them signing a petition, them coming forward and publicly saying, look, we're not trying to be unreasonable to anybody, but we feel it doesn't hurt to have tents up during the day. Now, of course, the claim I heard from I don't know, I think it was Paul Merceau, he was in a meeting with me and a bunch of other people on last week. He said, either then or before, the tents were somehow not provided for under the city's permit. But it seems to me that that could be easily modified if necessary, or it could be comfortably ignored, one of the two. Mm-hmm. And particularly if you have a necessity as the weather grows colder and damper and wetter, would you four be interested in sort of organizing some kind of getting the people together who want to have tents up, maybe write up a petition saying we want tents up for the following reasons, you know, the...
Well, there's some people that's all they have is the tents.
Right.
And if they take the tents out and, you know, say that they can't stay there anymore because they're going to be doing this and that and this and that and the other thing, they're going to be totally screwed out of a place to stay, because that's the only tent they have, and that's the only, like, house.
Right, but the question is,
can people organize enough to fight this effectively? That's really, to me, that's always been the question. But I'm always accused of being an outside agitator, and I live in a room. I don't have a tent. So I'm in better shape than you guys are as far as lodging goes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the first question I often hear, by the way, if you see that phone blinking, let me know, because that means there's an incoming call. And all you folks, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We want you to give us a call, 427-3772. Are you being kicked out of your tent? Are you being hassled out of the open-air shelter? Are you being hassled elsewhere? I want to hear about it. Give me a call. It's, again, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772. So I'm always eager to support civil rights causes like this, but again, it's always a matter of choice, because when you start organizing, you always draw more heat down on you, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a trade-off. You have to decide what you want to do on that, and I would encourage you to think about that. Talk to other people out there, see what they want to do, Because I know that the tent rules were liberalized this spring because several people did speak up loudly and insistently. A man named Marathon Mark Webster, early in the spring, insisted the tents be allowed up, and Marceau was not letting them up at all, but they just started putting them up and said, to hell with this, and finally he agreed to that. Mm-hmm. And actually what I may do is I may try to call him on the phone and do an interview with him, with all of you in the studio. Maybe you'd like to talk to him directly?
What do you think, guys?
I would like that very much.
Okay, what would you like?
I want to get this problem solved, because I don't think it's fair to the homeless people. That's a place for them to go.
That's the only home they have. Yeah.
They don't have anywhere to go, so that's a place where they can eat, take showers, sleep, and do everything. And what the city's trying to do
is close it down, and I don't think that's right, because some of those people don't have any other place to stay to take showers and stuff like that. And, you know, they're willing to open up the armory, but the question is, does the armory have all those facilities?
And during the day, the armory will not be open, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's even worse, because at least during the day you'd be able to take showers and stuff, you know, and we're just trying to keep it open as long as possible, because we don't think it's fair.
Now, what we can do is we can contact Paul either directly by phone, or we can arrange possibly a meeting, which might be more low profile. And as a media man, I'm always interested in seeing bureaucrats put on the spot with embarrassing questions. But perhaps as a person interested in seeing you guys resolve your problem with him, if it is simply your problem, do you know if other people are being harassed around these issues? And how many would you estimate, Bill's shaking his head yes, I mean nodding yes, how many would you estimate, you guys, that and you women, that this is happening to?
About 15 people.
15 people.
Would they be willing to stand up with you, or are they somewhat reluctant to speak out?
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask them.
We're going to have to ask them.
We have an incoming call. Let's see who it is.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Lighthouse L.
Hang on a second. Go ahead.
I'd like to get in on this discussion a little bit, especially if you happen to get through to Paul.
Uh-huh.
Because I was over there Friday in the daytime. I'm lucky enough not to have to sleep out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really appreciating this little chance to listen to your guests in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to add one or two things. I saw this, I started to say nasty, this awful, dreadful note talking about why they were going to make this rule that you have to take the tents down now that you could see, I mean, I could see, was not being enforced in any way other than selectively. And the letter says it's all because they never know who's taking drugs, and they don't want the stealing going on and needles hanging out of people's arms. I mean, it's a full-page kind of letter from ISSP. A couple people sign it. It's longer than that, but that's what it boils down to. And so, if this is a new policy and intentional, also I wanted to add that I heard while I was over there that Chemo was supposedly fired from any sort of a position of authority or power over other people.
Let me ask our guests, is that true? Or do you know about this?
No, that's not true at all.
He's still bullying people?
No, he still works there, and he still authorizes there.
Uh-huh. Listen, if you guys feel that because of your need to not be retaliated against, you can't file a complaint, I'd be happy to do it for you, or I'll be your ally and support person if you decide to do it.
That's great. This is Lighthouse Linda of Housing Now.
I'll see you guys later. Thanks, Robert.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
So apparently you have an ally already here, Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, who you can call up and talk to. I'll give you her number. For anybody trying to reach Housing Now and Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, her number for these kinds of complaints and concerns about the open-air shelter, which you may well be interested in, or perhaps route them to somebody else, is 426-7701. That's 426-7701. I'm taking the liberty of announcing that number, Linda, since you have it out on literature and since it seems you are interested in this issue. If I'm screwing up, then just send them over to me and my number in case you want to call me and chew me out one way or the other. This includes Chemo. If you want to be on the air, Chemo, I'd be happy to give you equal time and to respond to these charges. My number is 423, that's it. I think I know my own number. 423-HUFF. 423-4833. HUFF, as all you good listeners know, stands for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which is the organization that supports civil rights for the poor in shelters, in open-air campgrounds, downtown on the mall, up in the air, under the ground. We don't care where it is. Everybody should have basic rights, for example, the right to sleep. We also have a puppy here who may or may not have a comment on this situation. Very adorable-looking dog, but apparently a strong, silent type. You have to be here. You have to, it's, the dog is yawning. Oh, that's so cute. All right. Well, every radio station needs a dog, that's for sure. No doubt that means we'll get the code health inspectors after us, but hey, that's how it goes.
They made us move because of our puppy, because they have a certain dog area in the back 40. So we moved, you know, to follow the rules and everything. There is a lot of dogs that are out of the dog area, but they complain to us about moving.
And these, I hope, are all complaints and concerns that you are going to talk to Linda LeMaster about when you see her. And you're going to write down her number, I hope, because I've already given it to you, and I'll give it to you again. Well, let me ask you a couple other questions that may not be directly related to the open-air shelter. How many of you are under 18? Raise your hands. So we have two. We have two people under 18, and this is important because, as you may or may not know, there is a curfew law coming down the pike. The county is considering a law making it illegal to be out after 11 o'clock at night if you are under 18, unless you have a note from your dad. Or your mom, or your guardian, or the big bad wolf, whoever you need a note from. Plus, there are a number of other reasons you can be out if you're coming back from an event and so on. But generally speaking, it means you have to account for yourself after 11. You have to present ID. I'm going to be speaking on this issue before the Board of Supervisors tomorrow, I think. Board of Supervisors actually has sent this matter to the sheriff. It's not a law yet, but it's going to come back in November and probably will be a law unless we fight it strongly. And perhaps even if we do fight it strongly, it will still be a law. So what do you folks think of curfews? Any comments on curfews?
I think it's bogus that they shouldn't have curfews, because if they didn't have them in the first place, then why put them in now?
Well, the claim is that curfews are needed because young people are subjected to a lot of violence, young against young, that there's gang violence, there is drug abuse, which is injurious to the health of young mothers and older people. That to care for young people means to keep them off the streets after 11.
True, but there's a lot of gang members and stuff like that that are trying to help other people get out of the gangs. And I myself think that the old gangs are just, it shouldn't even be there. Because I myself grew up around gangs and seen a lot of violence. And it don't do no good. And I myself is against gangs because there's too much violence and too much, killing over colors, and it's senseless.
You feel like giving a report on gangs in Santa Cruz?
No.
Okay.
At some point, we will attempt to interrogate that out of you, Bill. Since this, we want all the news at this station. So. Let's see. Is there anything, Edward? We haven't let you get too much access to the mic. Do you want anything you want to say about any of these? Any thoughts you have on what you've heard, or the curfew law? Actually, I was asking for opinions on too. But whatever. Just speak your mind.
As much as I want to step up and raise my voice and deck chemo, I don't, because I know I have nowhere else to go, and that right now that's the only place I have, and I'm 2,000 miles away from my real home, and so I'm quiet about it.
Gotcha. Well, I would encourage you. What about you two women? You two mothers, I might say.
I can't stand chemo. The other day I was about ready to go, yell at him, but they stopped me here because I didn't want to get kicked out.
Well, what about the curfew? You guys favor curfew laws, oppose curfew laws, don't care about them? What do you think?
I think they're stupid because sometimes they have parties and dances and stuff that are past curfew. And what, when they're all going home from it, they're supposed to get picked up?
Well, another criticism of the curfew laws has been that poor people and homeless people are going to have no place to go. Whereas everybody else, if you're a rich kid, you can get to go to a party at somebody else's house, you can get a sanctioned event, you can go out to a movie. But if you're a poor person, you know, you don't have those kinds of alternatives. You're just stuck. You got to be where you are. But more about this. And again, for those who want to speak on the curfew, I encourage you to come to Oral Communications at the Board of Supervisors tomorrow, which, where I understand Linda LeMaster, Lighthouse Linda, the woman who called on the phone, will also be talking, presumably, against the curfew and talking about her concerns about that law. Is there anything else that you would like to add before I continue with the exciting vignettes from the mall, which, by the way, I invite you all to join the mall's Hound Dog the Host's table. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, we haven't.
Well, it's in front of the Del Mar Theater. Almost everybody else has heard about it, and I'm going to tell you about it now, as well as our audience for about the 48th time. Audience, in case you didn't pick up on this on the first 47 times, the green-shirted hosts who enforce the anti-homeless downtown laws have their headquarters, which they call the Downtown Informant Center. No, they call it the Downtown Information Center. We call it the Informant Center, right next to the Del Mar Theater at Pacific and Lincoln. We set up a table there, that is those of us from HUF, Homeless United from Friendship and Freedom, who want to, and we encourage people to go after the hosts and observe their behavior. And when they see the hosts hassling someone, you go up to that person after the host has left, and you give them a flyer which tells them what their rights are. That's what hound-dogging the hosts is. It's letting them know that their abuses, their conduct, is not going unwatched. So I invite you to join us down there. It's up during the day in case you get bored out there and you can't, you know. We haven't got a tent. Maybe we could bring a tent and set up a tent on the mall. That would no doubt be the basis.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. Actually, if somebody wants to volunteer a tent, we could set up a tent. I'd be very attentive, which reminds me of the story that actually it's Alicia and Anita. Yeah. Alicia and Anita, actually, this is a story I heard about them before I even knew them. That's sort of a strange story that Alicia and Anita were walking downtown one day and they saw this homeless person who was finally gone crazy because of the downtown ordinances, and she was in a complete state of hysteria and she was going, "I'm a wigwam. No, I'm a teepee. I'm a wigwam. No, I'm a teepee." And they were observing this, and a cop came up and said, "Yeah, what's going on here? You know, you having trouble?" And the woman simply said, "I'm a wigwam. No, I'm a teepee. I'm a wigwam. No, I'm a teepee." Well, the cop didn't know what to do, so he called the downtown worker, Dennis, who, as you know, is the downtown mental health worker. He walks up and down the mall dealing with mental health problems, though he hasn't really dealt with the paranoia of the merchants. That's a real mental health problem, but that he hasn't yet dealt with that one. And he went up to this woman, and she continued to say, "I'm a wigwam. No, I'm a teepee. I'm a wigwam. No, I'm a teepee." And, our two guests here kind of continued to look at this in some amazement, but as though they knew what was going on. And finally, the hosts came up, and they said, "Wait, let's find out. Aha, the woman is violating the downtown ordinances by sitting 10 feet from a shop. Well, madam, you're going to have to move." And she said, "I'm a wigwam. No, I'm a teepee." So at this point, our two guests could restrain themselves no longer. They walked forward and they said in unison, "Hold it. You're too tense." I want you all to think about that. You see, a wigwam and a teepee are both different kinds of tents. Well, it was a good joke when I first did it. We'll have to ignore that. We will move on to the recorded music segment of the show. I want to thank you for coming in. And is there anything anybody wants to add before we close this one off? Okay. Well, then I'm going to thank you all. And don't leave yet. I'll give you these phone numbers for you can call up. What we're going to return to now, and you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. Call in 427-3772. And if, by the way, you can't call in now, you can call in later at 423-HUF. That's my home phone number. If you want to be on the air, if you've got something you want to respond to, if you've got written material you want to get to me, call 423-HUF and leave me a message. We're going to pick up now on the incidents on the mall downtown, the kind of the reports that we were getting, the kind of incidents that occurred and that I think other individuals reported to me while I was doing my hound dog, the host's beat, I guess you'd call it.
Looks like at least four other people. It's 1:05. Star, anything been happening at the table you wish to mention?
Well, I got another volunteer coming up. So, she's
she had a lot of problems in the past. She's been on Medi-Cal for 20 years, and she had a brain tumor. She was born with it, and she had surgery and all this stuff. So she's just, here, let me, yeah, I got it, number. But, she's, going to be donating some time. Her name's, let's see, it's Gail.
Well, actually, this sounds a bit like technical details that I should have edited out. We're going to roll ahead a bit to some other stuff that may be a little more interesting, hopefully.
This is the fourth day. Let's not exaggerate.
Well, they counted it as 5 days time served.
I see. They were trying to do you a good turn.
Yes. And the judge I had, Judge Barton, mm-hmm. is a very fair judge and is very nice to me. And they released me, and I have a suspended license for 6 months, and other than that...
Oh, because of the marijuana conviction, even though the marijuana possession has nothing to do with driving, right?
Correct. I've never driven in my life.
Right.
I've never had a license. It just postpones my being able to get one until March of next year.
I see. Well, let me ask you this. How was jail? Any unusual interchanges in jail that struck you?
The only unusual interchange I saw was a fight in which they charged both of the people in the fight with felony assault, and as far as I could tell, one of the people was just defending himself.
Right.
And they dropped the charges against the person defending himself after 3 days.
I see. Anybody in jail that you knew on other camping charges or victimless crimes?
I met one man that was in jail because he was not able to call into his parole officer because he got jumped by some gang members in Salinas and was in the hospital. And the DA tried to give him 6 years.
This is a DA in Monterey, in DA Art Denner? Or our DA?
It was the district attorney for Santa Cruz.
That's Art Denner who heads that department.
Right. And the judge that the man had, this is a 72-year-old man.
Right.
Judge Kelsey told the DA to shut up and sit down. And he's probably going to be released tomorrow.
So you may have had your faith in the court system renewed rather than lessened.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in the court system, just not in the laws which the police of this town enforce, which I find to be extremely biased towards the homeless.
Fair enough. Well, thank you, Moose. Anything else?
It's about 6 o'clock, September 18th, 1995, and we are at the corner of Cathcart and Pacific, where two, not just one, but two tables are setting up. First, the free Momia table, and then down the way, Food Not Bombs and a rare Monday meal, the second expansion of its food program since Wednesday. They had a meal on Thursday, now they have a meal on Monday on the mall. This could drive the merchants to psychiatrists, who knows. But right now I'm standing at the Momia table, and I'm about to interview anybody who wants to be interviewed. Who wants to volunteer here? Gina wants to be to a volunteer. Gina, let them put out the literature, and you can be interviewed here for FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I do a local show here. So, what's happening? What's going on? What's cooking?
Judge Sabo, as we all expected, just denied Mumia a retrial.
Just meaning like 3 days ago? Or?
Yeah, just this last weekend. And the cops are all getting together and having a huge rally in Philadelphia.
They're having a big bonfire.
Yeah, asking for Mumia to be brought to death. And as I understand it, Wilson, of course, is strongly supporting it publicly, and so is Clinton, which is not a surprise, but it's...
Now, how do we know, in what respect has Clinton showed his support for this?
What I've been told is that he was just voicing his support for the police, and I'm not sure if this is rumor or not, but that he would be actually going to the rally and supporting the police, which...
So this is naked rumor we're talking about here.
The fact that Clinton supports it is not a naked rumor, but it's a naked rumor that he...
In what form has his support taken?
As far as just open public comment.
What comments has he made?
I don't have a quote.
Ah, okay. So when you do, I'd like to know that quote. So any specifics on new court dates or any timeline here?
I think they have, 30 days to ask for an appeal, to work on an appeal. Yeah, and they have the state Supreme Court and Supreme Court left to go through. And Governor Ridge has stated that he would immediately sign a death warrant as soon as the appeals are exhausted. So.
Eager to get down to business, eh?
Definitely. And so it's a really crucial time.
Okay. Well, do you have a local number you want people to call if they're interested in involving themselves on this issue?
Yeah, can you pause?
Pausing briefly.
457-4998, and there's meetings on Monday nights at 7:30 at the Drop-In Center, which is on
14 Front Street.
Yes.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let us know more if you when the time comes.
Okay.
You have a potential customer of Food Not Bombs here, a local man, who's commenting on my t-shirt. Do you prefer this to the local bagels? What do you think?
Yo, most definitely.
He's commenting on my I Am Beyond Rehabilitation t-shirt. Rather tattered piece from 1989. It's a quote from Sandy Loringer, which you may know is a woman who served food and was arrested and spent 3 weeks in jail for serving food in Santa Cruz.
Was that back in Peter Carota's day?
No, that was actually after Carota's day. That was in 1989. Carota's day, although he still retains his wear a tie-dye, don't get in policy at the...
That's not him.
No, but apparently he supports it.
I don't know about that.
My experience has been in conversations with him that he does, but that was some years ago. Maybe he's changed since then.
I don't know. Do you know if he finally got ordained as a priest?
That I don't know. I know that... people who are in functional control of the St. Francis Catholic Soup Kitchen are still discriminating against people who are trying to eat, who wear, for example, women with tank tops and men with tie-dyes.
Do you remember St. Francis decided to go off and meditate on a mountain for a while? When he came back, they turned his order of supposed mendicants into an institution. They'd taken the little chapel that he and a few others had rebuilt with their own hands for meditation and prayer and turned it into a library. These things happen.
Indeed. What is your moniker, sir?
Oh, Tony.
So this is... Tony. All right then, Tony. Thank you for your comments, and we may put you on the radio.
Oh, please.
Isn't that exciting? Santa Cruz, we're in line here at the Food Not Bombs meal. My question is, why aren't you folks eating at the free meal? Why the Food Not Bombs meal?
Because it is delicious.
I see. So you think the food here is better than the free meal?
Absolutely.
Really? Now, what do you think about this fly, the woman who I just mutilated for life?
No, this is Fly.
What's your name?
Willow Tree. My name's Fly.
No. Catch you on the fly, Willow Tree.
I think both of them are good. It's rather I want to get off my ass and walk or not.
So you're just a lazy guy.
Yes, I am.
I think it's better over here, too.
I'm not that lazy.
I like the people better.
You like the people?
No, for real, though. There's a lot of friendly people that come here. All right. Over there, there's a lot of wing nuts.
I see. Okay, well, I'm just trying to get a general sampling. I'm
going to
continue my research.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to continue my research.
Are you going to be eating here in line? No?
No.
Now, you, sir, why are you eating here rather than, let's say, the free meal?
Because I'm hungry and I'm here right now.
I see. So you're going to be here now, so to speak.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Now, what about you? You're eating here, and you're not eating at the free meal. Why is this? Is there a choice involved? You just happen to be here? What's the story?
It has no story, man.
No story. Okay. If Food Not Bombs volunteer, Mr. Earth, this makes the third meal, actually the second meal, outside the normal Food Not Bombs schedule from the past that we see appearing on the mall. Could this become a trend?
Well, like I said before, our intent is to serve every day, and right now we're serving 7 days a week. Hopefully at some point we'll be serving 7 nights a week here, but from Saturday and Sunday we've been serving River and Josephine.
Uh-huh.
Have you, possibility we may serve 2 meals tomorrow, one in the morning behind Loud Nelson, and one at night here. And
you have volunteers for that meal tomorrow, or both meals, or?
Not really. I thought we just winging it at this point.
Alright. Any flack from anybody, or any praise from anybody, or what's true?
Yeah, we've had praise from especially some of the long-time Food Not Bomb people that have been around, that we're doing this. It's something they've been wanting to do for a long time.
The meal isn't connected with any change of policy of food at the pre-meal or Corona Secure.
No. No, it's we're just working in conjunction with everybody else just to feed the hungry.
Cool. The shelter program begins in full force in November or October, whenever they start. Presumably they'll also be serving meals at the churches, right?
I believe so. I mean, that's fine. You know, there's plenty of hungry
to go around.
Plenty of hungry people around. So, I hope we do get to the point where we have more servers than hungry people. That's the goal. So,
do you anticipate any conflict with the downtown merchants? Have you, or is that, should we say, something unlikely?
So, because it's been very positive energy so far, and the thing is, people sometimes get irritable when they get hungry, their blood sugar gets low and everything.
So the way you're stopping irritability
right
on the mall.
That's what we're doing. We're trying to do is make healthy, happy people.
Well, and if people want to volunteer, what should they do?
Just call the Food Not Bombs message line, 425-3345, and say that they're willing to volunteer.
What kind of skills are you looking for?
Oh, people that are interested in helping prepare food, chopping vegetables, especially cleanup type work too. I've been doing it all myself about the last week, washing buckets that have sort of piled up and got behind on.
You need some cleaners today, for instance?
Yeah, we could use some, definitely.
Not that I'm volunteering, mind you, but I could make an announcement.
And that was an interview with various people. The last man you heard speaking was John Earth, a Food Not Bombs volunteer, who, along with a new volunteer called Sean and other volunteers, kind of held down the fort for Food Not Bombs when Food Not Bombs was out of town, along with Peppercorn Penny and Stubborn Heart Star. I don't know if actually Stubborn Heart Star was involved. A bunch of people who kind of held out while Food Not Bombs volunteers were up at Headwaters. There has, in fact, been a sort of a, a second organization de facto has developed. There's Food Not Bombs, which serves its usual times, and then there's a group which some call Food Not Politics, others call Sean Not Bombs, mainly because of the prominent position of Sean, who is a new volunteer who has been actually working overtime at quadruple speed, stepping on a number of toes in some cases, but getting food out almost every night for the last week or so. But the Food Not Bombs volunteers have found some problems with, they've kind of encouraged him to do his own operation, and they're working in a parallel fashion at the present time. Food Not Bombs serves tomorrow, I believe, at 11 o'clock at Loudon Park, and then Wednesday at 4 o'clock, or 4 or 5, perhaps it's 5 now, at Cathcart and Pacific, and then on Saturdays and Sundays at River and Josephine at 1 o'clock. And who knows when Politics Not Bombs or Food Not Politics or Sean Not Bombs or the second group serves. They've been serving every day on the mall. But to all these groups, I want to encourage people to be aware of merchant concerns nearby, not necessarily moved or dictated by what the merchants think, but nonetheless, for example, local vendors who sell coffee are grousing that Food Not Bombs eaters, people who use the Food Not Bombs meals, are taking all the sugar, taking all the cream, taking all the stirs, and I'm encouraging people to show restaurant courtesy to the capitalist restaurants in the vicinity, because after all, they're usually small capitalist restaurants, and somebody's paying for all that stuff, and try and either bring your stuff with you or get it from the Food Not Bombs table, or if as a last resort, ask for it is my advice at a restaurant. Don't assume you have a license because you got a bowl of soup to clean out the restaurant of all its condiments. That makes us Food Not Bombs, and I would assume Sean Not Bombs too, persona non grata downtown whenever that happens. So yeah, there's a lot of controversy inside Food Not Bombs these days, and I think we may want to do an interview with a Food Not Bombs member, an active Food Not Bombs member, on that issue. I'm a Food Not Bombs member, but I cook like once every 2 years or something, so I'm not as active as some, certainly not as active as Sean, who's a, I don't know if he's a Food Not Bombs member anymore. I think he's now got his own operation, although I'm not entirely sure what the division of the labor is. Perhaps someone could call in and tell us. We do have a call-in number. It's 427-3772. And for anyone who wants to help Food Not Bombs, the organization which does serve poor people and makes poverty visible and isn't afraid to confront authority peacefully with food and to expose their priorities and their lives, give a call to 425-3345 to help cook, help serve, help feed the people, as has been said frequently in the last 2 weeks. With me here is an old friend and guest from the organization Madhouse Exit, John Stewart. John has got his own show and speaks on issues of abuses by psychiatric institutions and ideologies and authorities. And he has been keeping us advised of an ongoing case of a man who essentially is now a brain-dead vegetable, I believe, in a San Jose hospital.
Valley Medical.
Okay, well, so what's the update, John?
This is the Saturday Mercury News. Headline is Jail's Director in Silence on Leitner. Joseph Leitner is the man's name. He's in a comatose state in on life support in Valley Medical Center after an assault by sheriff's deputies and psychiatric nurses in Santa Clara County Jail. Reading the first paragraph here, ending a long silence on inmate Joseph Leitner's high-profile case, Santa Clara County Jail's Director Daniel Vasquez said Friday that the guards he intends to fire used excessive force against the mentally ill man who is now comatose. Is before a grand jury. Vasquez said it is clear from the videotapes of the incident that guards went too far when they put a blanket over Leitner's head and carried him by force to the jail psychiatric ward. Quote, he was struggling because of excessive pain and the covering over his head, unquote, Vasquez said. Quote, it wasn't that he was trying to get away, but because he was hurt, we were hurting him, unquote. So the jail's director intends to fire 5 deputy sheriffs and 2 psychiatric technicians called psychiatric nurses over there. They could be male or female. And meanwhile, their victim is on life support, brain dead, in Valley Medical Center in intensive care. If you've been listening to Robert, then you know I don't want to take up 20 minutes running down the whole case here. This is just an update. So if you haven't been keeping up with it, you can call John Stewart at 427-2171, and I'll give you a larger update, or I'll update it more on my show Wednesdays 2 to 3. But this is just for now. They intend to fire 5 deputy sheriffs and 2 psychiatric technicians, all of whom have their lawyers and all of whom will fight the case. And in fact, the sheriff's officers association, I don't know the name of it, has threatened to go on strike if they carry out these, if the the director of the jails and carries out these intentions. Parenthetically, the jail's director states unequivocally that he never had authorized the use of blankets over people's head, regardless of the circumstances, in the jails. Although previous articles have stated that the director's office had withdrawn that as a policy. There seems to be certain internal contradictions in the sheriff's department here.
They're scrambling for cover here, John, it sounds like.
No doubt. That's it, Robert.
That's the madhouse exit update here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Unusually brief today, John, I must say. John, again, his show is between 2 and 3 on Wednesday if you want to tune in, or if you have any calls to John. John's been, to me, he's a particularly articulate source of information on not only these public issues, but also on the more difficult issues of alternatives to psychiatry, which we've talked about in the past. It's all very well to attack, and we should attack, but what are we going to do to build up in the place so that we can, you know.
Ready?
Here's John. John, what do you have to say about that, John?
What we can do, what we need to do is eliminate the forced psychiatric treatment by putting into law the right to refuse psychiatric treatment, which is to say the right to refuse to be helped by anyone. Also, to eliminate the insanity defense and to get rid of capital punishment. In order to do that, we need hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, to a mass movement of incredible size. In order to have a movement of such an enormous size, it's each one reach one, each one teach one, each one warn one. So it's like politicize people to the need for the right to refuse psychiatric treatment. After the politicize them to the psychiatric inmates liberation movement positions on psychiatry and the mental health system industry, and organize people to force the system to end forced psychiatric treatment. So that's it in brief.
Right, but of course, that's not an answer to my question. My question was, what do we do in terms of alternatives? That's the problem. I mean, I agree with you. We destroy the system, and those are good suggestions for it. But what about alternatives now that we can use among ourselves? How can we get those set up?
That's the same one I did before.
It is. But I mean,
right.
If you have any new thoughts, I want to hear them.
It's the same one.
Yeah.
It's network amongst yourselves,
right
to make it okay to talk about anything and everything, and not turn each other in to the mental health system or to psychiatrists or to anyone else because you're having you have a particular or your friend. You take the stand that with you it's okay for your friends and your neighbors and your acquaintances to talk about anything, including suicide or any kind of version of reality, including UFOs or extraterrestrial beings.
Successful, John, in establishing such a network for yourself.
Have I established? I'm working on it. That's the point of me being on the radio, to work on that. With myself and my friends, it's okay. We can talk about anything, including suicide. Several years ago, a friend of mine called me, they were talking about suicide. And the reason my friend could call me and talk about that was that my friend knew that I would not call the 911 on them. Subsequently, my friend changed their mind. They changed their mind and didn't do it. It would have been a terrible tragedy for me had they gone ahead and done it, but it would have been a worse tragedy for both of us if I had turned them in. Yes, I, in my own personal life with my friends, I do have a network, and I believe I can include Robert Norris in that network.
Wait a minute. Everything.
I don't think Robert would call the shrinks on me for any reason, regardless. He might flee. if I threw a tantrum on him, he might flee. But I don't think he would call the shrinks or the cops to have me committed.
Wait,
And that's the point.
You're too committed as it is, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, that, I mean, to me, that is really, I mean, you keep emphasizing that point of, I'm sure you should. I to me, that's second nature, and I think that we can, many of us agree with
it
that.
Is.
The question is, what do we do to enhance, strengthen,